Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Rise and shine, everyone. Football's back. The first NFL Sunday of the season is in the books. Myself, Ian McMillan, Sterling Holmes here to recap Sunday's action. Also, of course, Thursday and Friday's games. And then we are going to preview Monday Night Football. We still got one game left to go in week one. It is the Jets. It is the 49ers. Sterling, how are you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. Like, all I did this entire weekend from Thursday till, I guess, even tonight, sit my ass on a couch, crack open a cold one, and watch some football. And were we given some great games, right? Sunday Night Football was the best for the last of Sunday going into overtime. Just phenomenal. It was just so, so enjoyable to have the NFL back.
Yeah, I feel like the past couple of years we've been kind of cursed with bad primetime games. All three primetime games this week were all good. All came down right to the end. Ravens and Chiefs came down right to the end. Packers and Eagles came down right to the end. And then, of course, last night it went into overtime. So 3 for 3 on primetime games so far. Let's start right there, actually, with the Ravens and Chiefs. I know kind of it feels like it was weeks ago now at this point, but Ravens and Chiefs was a week one game. And we haven't talked since then. Chiefs 27, Ravens 20, obviously came down to a last second play. Isaiah Likely, his toenail on his big toe was touching the white line. Therefore, the touchdown did not count. The Chiefs ran away with a victory. They escaped once again. Thoughts, Sterling, on your Chiefs?
Yeah, Kevin Durant and Isaiah Likely are the pointing Spider-Man meme right there. Just they needed one size smaller shoe. Great job by the Ravens to put themselves in that position late. In my opinion, did not play great football. If you watch the entire game, I think you'd have to say the Chiefs outplayed the Ravens. It felt like the Chiefs were up 2 scores almost the entire game. Chiefs stalled in the red zone. They couldn't take advantage. I think if you're a Ravens fan, there's some reasons to be excited about that team. Obviously the offensive line did not look great, but that was only against Chris Jones. They held their own against almost every other Chiefs defensive lineman. That is the Chiefs' weakness, but obviously that's good if you are a Baltimore fan. And it kind of came down to Lamar Jackson is the reason the Ravens had a chance to win that game. Lamar Jackson is the reason they lost that game. He missed a couple of wide open throws, the one into the end zone earlier to Isaiah Likely that he overthrew that Likely got injured on. Good throw. He sees him earlier. That's an easy touchdown. He completely missed Zay Flowers / Rashad Bateman in the end zone the play prior. I actually think that that final throw was a really good throw to Likely. That was just a little unlucky, quite frankly. I don't want to count that as a miss, but he missed the previous two throws. Again, Lamar is a very good quarterback, but it seems like in these games, when it's time to take the next step forward, they come up short. I hated what they said post game. Lamar perpetually saying he still thinks he's in. I mean, does he have eyes? Apparently not, because he missed Zay Flowers. Isaiah Likely talking smack after the game, saying good luck to the Chiefs in the playoffs, as if they're not the team that knocks you out of the playoffs every single year. And oh yeah, they're the back-to-back Super Bowl champions. Like, it's just hilarious, the whining that's going on from the Baltimore Ravens. Quite frankly, I was prepared to tip my cap and say great game to all of them. Like, that was a phenomenal game. And then after that, you're talking smack. Like, it's just hilarious to me. It's the most Charmin ultra soft thing. It's the Brian Kelly of football right now.
Yeah, but even if that's the case, as Chiefs fans, you should look past that. Because you calling them soft and reacting to them is soft in itself. You should just not care.
Want to know, baby.
There you go. That should be the response. Yeah, Lamar Jackson, I will say, and I'd have to go back and watch the play, but the play before the last play where he missed Zay Flowers, I'd have to go back and look. But I think that was actually, and everyone's been blaming that throw on Lamar Jackson. I think that might have been just Zay Flowers not settling down into that zone, and instead he kept the route going when he should have just settled down into the open spot. So I don't know if that throw is necessarily on Lamar. It might have been, but everyone's throwing Lamar on the bus. I think that might have been Zay Flowers more not settling into the right zone. I think Lamar expected him to settle. Instead, he kept running to the right, and then there was some miscommunication there.
No, what makes it worse is he was not even looking for Zay. That was supposed to be to Rashad Bateman. Lamar Jackson said it after the game, which makes it way worse.
Yeah, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
Where was Rashad Bateman?
The guy who was double covered.
Oh, okay. Okay, yeah, that makes it worse then. Philip says, come on, Ian, we're not robots. Yeah, well, you should be. I don't know. Here's my thoughts about Ravens and Chiefs, is that I didn't really learn anything. It was an exciting finish. It's cool. It was cool to see football back, but I just felt like I didn't learn anything. The Chiefs, once again, were the Chiefs. They pulled out a close game like they do 90% of the time the past couple of years. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. There was a play, I think it was in the second half, I forget the exact play, but he got flushed out of the pocket. And the moment he got flushed out of the pocket, it was like as if I had already accepted it was going to be like a 30-yard completion. Because it's like, okay, well, I like this. There's no question how this play is going to end. And that's what happened. He got flushed out of the pocket, ran to the sideline, and found Travis Kelce like 30 yards down the field, and which was a pivotal third down. Of course, is a first down completion. Like, there's just 0% of the time Patrick Mahomes gets flushed out of the pocket on a long pivotal third and long. He's never not going to find someone 20, 30 yards down the field for a first down. So it felt like it was just a continuation of last season. That's what the opening night game, because even the Ravens, you know, yeah, they didn't look great, but they were in the game, but then just couldn't quite close it out against a very good team. So yeah, that's how I felt about the opening night game. It just felt like 2023 season version 2.0.
It felt more like 2022 at least.
It felt like an epilogue is what it felt like.
Shout out Matthew.
Everyone comes after.
Matthew in the chat says, thank you Buffalo for Xavier Worthy. Yeah, Chiefs fans, you have to be excited about what you saw from Xavier. It's game speed. It's not Darius Hayward Bay. It's not John Ross speed where it's like, oh wow, that's a fast 40. No, this is fast game speed.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today. If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to GundryMD.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's GundryMD.com/energy.
Philip says, let's talk with the Falcons. Don't worry, my friend. We'll get to the Falcons.
Yeah, I want to talk about the Falcons too.
Friday night, though, we got to get to Friday night first. Packers, Eagles. Eagles won this game in what was a shootout, which what a weird game, because it felt like the Eagles got outplayed. It also felt like it was a bad game, but yet the Eagles won in like what looks like an exciting shootout. So like, I feel like what my eyes saw and like what the final score says were two different things.
Oh, 100%. Could not agree more, because it really was the field. How many big plays happened because a defender slipped?
Yeah.
I feel bad for the players. I mean, imagine traveling all the way to Brazil. That's a long flight. You got to change your schedule. Everything's different. And you play on that field. Like, you're telling me they can get it ready for soccer and it's the most pristine field you've ever seen. And then the NFL's like, yeah, we don't really care about how the field looks. As long as it looks green, we're good. Mm. Like, it's embarrassing to me. I don't know if that's on Brazil, if it's on the NFL. I'm going to place the blame more on the NFL than anything else. But it constituted a lot of big plays happening because of the field. It was very sloppy. It looks very exciting. I have my same concerns about Jordan Love. This is why I have the concerns. Now I'd like to see it without the field being the way it was. But for all the highlights that he has, there are some times that you just scratch your head and you're like, what is happening? Mm. What is going on? And now I feel bad that he's injured. Supposed to be out, was it 4 to 6 weeks? Along those lines. We'll see what Malik Willis has. But it was why I wasn't ready to crown Green Bay just yet. It's why I wasn't. Eagles, they put a lot of emphasis on the secondary. They didn't look any better in this game. Again, part of that is at the field. Or is it just a whole bunch of new youth that needs to get their feet wet? We'll see. But I think the score was way more exciting, as you mentioned, than the game itself really was.
Do we take anything away from this game outside of the fact that Jordan Love was hurt? Do we have more stock in the Eagles now? Do we consider them, you know, returning to the 2022 form that they're in? Or is it just like, okay, that game's over. Let's see them in an actual game next week.
I was high on them coming into this season. So I didn't learn a lot because, again, that field, I think, is very hard to glean a ton from. It's also week one. Week one is king overreaction time.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, again, the Chiefs lost to the Lions last year and everything, the sky was falling and they won the Super Bowl. Like, yeah. I don't know if that's necessarily the Packers or the Eagles, but I was high on the Eagles coming into this year. I'm still high on the Eagles.
One thing I'll say, Saquon Barkley looked fantastic.
Yeah.
He's going to be a weapon for them this year.
After his first carry went for like -3 yards when he slipped straight onto his face. I'm like, oh, great.
All time bad weekend for Giants fans.
Oh,
Saquon Barkley doing that. Giants doing their own thing.
All time bad for Browns fans too, I think, with seeing Baker Mayfield shine while Deshaun Watson should have at least kept Joe Flacco.
Before we move on to Sunday's games, Hunter, how hungover are Kelce and Mahomes after drinking Honey Deuces all weekend? I went to US Open last weekend. Honey Deuce is overrated. It's just for a pitcher. They're actually, at least the ones they give out at the US Open, they're disgusting. They're like sweet, but also like blah at the same time. It's not good. Those are all just for the pitchers. Also, the melons that look like tennis balls on them are like rotten and disgusting. They just scoop them out of a giant bucket.
Ew.
Yeah, do you just want to get the Falcons out of the way? Can we just get the Falcons out of the way next?
Do you want to, or?
Yeah, I just want to rip.
I can wait if you want to.
No, I just want to rip the Band-Aid off. The Falcons game literally made me sick. I woke up today. I have a head cold right now that I'm fighting through. And I'm blaming that on the Falcons. Here's what I'll say about the Falcons. Obviously, I mean, 18-10. We lost to a team and the other team didn't even score a touchdown. It was, how many field goals is that?
Six
field goals. I think Hunter said earlier, Chris Boswell, you know, better than entire Falcons team. I'm not ready to say the sky's fallen just quite yet, because my concern heading into this game was that Raheem Morris did not play a single starter at all the entire preseason. And when I watched that game for the Falcons, that looked like a team whose starters did not play a second of the preseason. Now, some issues come along with that. Number one is the next 2 weeks, we got the Eagles and the Chiefs. So there's now a very real possibility we start 0-3. You simply can't start 0-3. That no matter how easy your schedule is, you're kind of screwed if you start 0-3. So we got to try to steal one game against the Chiefs or the Eagles. The more likely one would be next week, Monday Night Football against the Eagles. Another concern, and Field Yates tweeted this out, the Falcons were in pistol or shotgun on 96% of their snaps today. Out of the 22 snaps out of shotgun, the Falcons had zero designed runs. Out of 26 snaps out of pistol, the Falcons ran the ball on 81% of plays. That's not a good offense. That's an extremely predictable offense. So if they're in shotgun, I guess teams are going to be like, all right, don't even try to stop the run because they're not going to run. So there are some red flags. I said Justin Fields was going to have a big day. I guess he didn't really score any touchdowns, but that was the best we've seen Justin Fields look in forever, because that's what happens when the Falcons play backup quarterbacks and mobile quarterbacks. Kirk Cousins, our offensive scheme didn't let Kirk Cousins use play action whatsoever, despite running the ball a million times. So that's concerning. Kirk Cousins is at his best when he has play action. I got a lot of concerns. Matthew says in the chat, Falcons will start 0-3. They're probably going to be 0-3, and then we're out of it. So I'm in a bad spot this morning, Sterling. This is not good. This is not good.
When do Falcons fans pin the apology letter to me? When is the one when all the Falcons fans who are ripping on me saying, "Oh my gosh, they're elite! Look at all the look at this!" And then that happened. When does that apology happen to me?
Not yet. If we go 0-4, I think we play the Saints week 4. If we go 0-4, then maybe the apology.
Not even a guarantee. If you start
over,
okay, weird.
I'm doing my best to not overreact, and Falcons fans should do this as well. Don't overreact to week 1, especially the fact that none of our starters played in the preseason. I'm going to chalk it up to just being, you know, a little bit of rust. Kirk Cousins' first time coming back off the injury playing, a little bit of rust. Let's just wait. Let's hold out. Week 4, in my opinion, is we got to beat the Saints at home in week 4. I'm already looking ahead. I'm chalking the Eagles and the Chiefs up to losses.
Yeah.
We needed to play the Chiefs and the Eagles late in the season when we get the guys, you know, going a little bit here.
Yeah. We can talk about the Saints too, and we'll talk about the Buccaneers, and those two teams looked really good in the NFC South. We can talk about how the Panthers somehow look worse this year than last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I still think the Falcons are a good team. I think a lot of it is rust. You're right. But this was not, again, the tells. It was not enthusiastic. Hunter says, seems like bad coaching. Yeah, for a guy who I think a lot of people expect to be in the running for coach of the year, this was not a coach of the year performance.
Nope.
Kirk Cousins looked bad, right? Yep. That's not great.
Three turnovers, can't do it.
Defensively, they were okay. I mean, 18 points, and let's be real now, Chris Boswell was draining 55-yard field goals like it was nothing. It was a very impressive performance from Boswell. It's not like the Steelers fans should be thrilled. Steelers got away with one. Steelers won a game that they probably should not have won.
Yeah,
Falcons just played worse. Yeah. But yeah, man, if I were a Falcons fan, I wouldn't jump off the bandwagon just yet. I wouldn't jump off when it's 0-3.
Yeah,
because again, the schedule does lighten up considerably, but it is that Saints game you got to look out for, because Derek Carr and the Saints looked really good, and that was without Chris Olave doing anything in that game. Anything.
Yeah. Yeah, so we agree. I mean, certainly, you know, a terrible start, not the start we want to the season. Defense kept them out of the end zone. That's a positive. But I'm not, you know, obviously I follow a lot of Falcons fan. I'm on a lot of, you know, Falcons, you know, message boards. People are saying the sky is falling. Signing Kirk was a big mistake. Let's just all relax. It's 1 week. Chiefs lost to the Lions last year in week one. Let's relax. Let's give it a month. But it's certainly not the start that we were hoping for.
I will say, Grady Jarrett, having him back looked good. Having Grady Jarrett back, I thought was a pretty big boost in the middle of your guys' defense up front. Yep,
for sure. So. All right, let's move on here to the rest of Sunday's action. Where do you want to go? Do you want to talk? Speaking of actually a slow start, let's start with the Bengals. Who? What's the issue in Cincinnati? By the way, and we're going to get to I'll recap the betting records a little bit later. But Sterling, after taking a survivor all the way to week 13 or 14 last season, week one. Eliminated, took the Cincinnati Bengals, lost outright to the Patriots.
I texted you.
Yes.
Before Saturday night or Sunday morning, when it was Saturday night, because it was when Jamar Chase was expected not to play.
Right.
And then T. Higgins was listed as out. And I go, I really wish I could switch right now. And Ian said, oh, you know what? I'll allow it. And I told Ian, that's the game though. We made our bets on Wednesday, right? We made them on Wednesday. That's part of the game. That's part of how we play Survivor. I can't switch. I'm an honest man, a man of my word. And I actually put money on the Patriots, because I go, Bengals are going to blow this.
Yeah.
Early on, I go, let me hedge my bets here. So I'm at a Survivor. So now I root for you, Ian.
Yeah, so now it's very quickly just become how far I can go. I took the Saints, which was, I think, the best Survivor pick he could have made this week. Saints or Bucks were pretty sweat-free Survivor wins. But about the Bengals, they are now, and 10P Kids in the chat says it, Zach Taylor 1-10 in week one or two games. Even 2 years ago when the Bengals finished 12-5, I think was the record. They had a really good regular season. They started that season 0-2 the first two weeks. Lost, I think, in overtime to the Pittsburgh, and then week two to Dallas. And this is why I bet against Cincinnati. This is why I took Patriots with the points. I should have just taken Patriots money line in hindsight. What is going on with Cincinnati and their slow start? Is it Zach Taylor? Is it Joe Burrow? He needs to get into the flow of things. What's going on with Cincinnati? Because 1-10 in week one or two in the Joe Burrow era is not good.
No, Joe Burrow is a slow starter. He's typically injured heading into seasons. This was slightly different. He was supposed to be healthy, but still he had the hand/wrist injury that ended his year last year. No T. Higgins, but the Patriots are bad, man. Like, it's not like the Patriots are a team with a ton of talent. It's Jacoby Brissett at quarterback.
Yeah.
And it's not like the Patriots look that good. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson looked good on the ground. But the Patriots basically just played, okay, ball control. We're going to run the ball. We're going to try and play good defense and not make mistakes. The Patriots didn't do hardly anything. I mean, I'll give the Patriots credit for winning this game, for doing what they needed to do. But it wasn't like they were this overpowering team. Mm-hmm. The Bengals just looked horrible.
Yeah.
Jamar looked disinterested at times. Joe Burrow looked bad. yeah, like, I don't know what you say. Like, if you're a Bengals fan, again, you've been in this position before where you start slow, but there's a lot of unrest. There's a lot going on with Jamar and T. And yeah, I get what Phillip's saying. You know, Pat Stevens is good since he had three fumbles. Yeah, they had a lot of mistakes.
Yeah.
A lot of mistakes.
One fumble as he was like walking into the end zone, he fumbled.
But like, that's also know the situation.
Yeah.
I think it was Tanner Hudson. Like, he extended the football. Why? There's three guys around you. Mm-hmm. That's just not being smart. Mike Gesicki had a chance to bring a ball down in the back of the end zone, and he did his gritty. He was celebrating. Like, he didn't have the ball. He should have. Should have came down with it. That was actually maybe Joe Burrow's best throw. I don't know, man. It's just, to me, it's a lot of management, ownership. Seemed like they pissed a lot of players off, and the result is this.
Yeah. So, I mean, we'll see if Cincinnati, I mean, starting in an 0-2 hole every single season is not a recipe for success, but we'll see if they can do it again.
What's helpful for them is the AFC North might be the best top to bottom division in football as far as depth, right? And the one team that won is a team that I think almost everyone expects to finish in fourth.
Yeah.
The Ravens lost, and then Cleveland looked horrible.
Yeah.
And that was at home, by the way. That was not one of the road ones of last year. That was at home.
Yeah.
So there is at least some positives if you are a Bengals fan.
Yes. I want to talk about what, in terms of betting, was the most heartbreaking loss for me, because I couldn't have handicapped it better. But somehow, I mean, football is just football, and things happen. And that's the Bears against the Titans. Titans all week were my upset pick. I was screaming on top of the mountain. I handicapped it perfectly. The Bears offense looked terrible. I also took the under on Caleb Williams' passing yards total, which was like 245, which is ridiculous. I don't even think he had 100 passing yards. Could not have like called what was going to happen in that game better. And then Will Levis was just like, here you go, Chicago. Here's the win. You guys want to win the game? Here, take it. One of the worst throws I've ever seen. As he's being thrown, he just went,
Yeah.
threw like, the ball up in the air. What's he doing?
The initial reaction on his face was great, too. Like, as he threw it, he ends up on his knees, hands on his helmet, like, what have I just done?
Yeah.
Like, he knew in the moment, like, oh, this is dumb. It's why I didn't like him coming out of college, personally. I saw him in person a couple times, saw him play against Mizzou. He's got, like, arm strength. Right? Like, strong arm. I get all that stuff. There was just nothing that really impressed me, though, in regards to decision-making, accuracy. Again, I don't mind the Titans trying to go to him. You had Ryan Tannehill beforehand. Try something different. But, like, those decisions are the ones that gave me a lot of cause to pause when he came out of the draft. And you saw what happened there. You're right. I felt so bad for you. The Titans should have won that game. The Titans played great until Will Levis decided to do that. The Bears, I've seen Bears fans thrilled they won. They're like, oh, we're so back, you guys. I'm like, that's not sustainable.
2.8 yards per play. I don't know if I've ever seen a team win averaging 2.8 yards per play.
Caleb Williams did not look good. In fairness, Keenan Allen did him no favors on a couple plays there. Keenan Allen has to be better for a veteran who's very, very good. But Caleb Williams did not, I don't think, inspire a ton of confidence.
14 for 29, 93 yards for Caleb Williams. His passing yards total was 245 and a half.
Again, Keenan Allen had a couple plays where you're like, there's a touchdown that he could have had. There was another long ball I thought he could have brought in, so.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home, and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.
Unfair.
Yeah, really quick, just the, I mean, unless you want to dwell on this, but just really quickly, you do have to say, and you mentioned earlier, the Panthers and the Giants stink again.
Oh, man. I did not see the Giants being this bad.
Yeah.
I did not. Again, I didn't think they were going to be good, but I sat here going, okay, the last time Daniel Jones was healthy, believe it or not, the Giants made the playoffs and won a playoff game. Now, that was Saquon, obviously, but I don't think the team is like that drastically different. Oh, man, that was brutal.
It's ugly.
I don't know if you heard Malik Nabers after the game talking.
I did not.
Ooh. In fairness, the reporter set him up with a question that was basically along the lines of, I'm paraphrasing and making this my own here now, but basically like, yeah, Daniel Jones missed you a whole bunch, didn't he? And Malik Nabers was just basically trying to be like, well, you know, I can only do what I can do. I was getting open down the field. And basically what we all were wondering and saying was, yeah, Malik Nabers was open a lot.
Yeah.
Daniel Jones just couldn't get in the ball. Not good if you're a Giants fan. I mean, that Vikings team, great for them, right? Everyone counted them out with the loss of J.J. McCarthy, the loss of Kirk Cousins, obviously. Sam Darnold played great.
Yep.
All these Sam Darnold truthers last year, they feel slightly vindicated right now.
I got a couple DMs.
I'm sure you got a few.
Yeah.
But, shout out to the Vikings and Giants. My goodness, that's depressing because that's, again, not against a very good team at home.
Yeah. Yeah, my big takeaways, yeah, like you mentioned, Sam Darnold truthers are, I mean, it's one game, it's a Giants, but I mean, 19 for 24, 208, two touchdowns. He did have one pick, but still got to be happy with that start as a Vikings fan. Pretty sweat-free win there in New York, or in New Jersey, I guess, technically. Saints 47, Panthers 10. Bryce Young's done. He stinks. Chip him out. He's done. I don't think I've ever seen a number one overall pick at quarterback be this bad this early. And not even bad where it's like, oh, this, you know, there's some bright spots. We could work with this. Maybe he'll improve. He's been flat out bad in every single game he's played in since he came into the NFL. And CJ Stroud is slinging it. Number two pick. I'm not a Panthers fan.
And I said from the get-go, before the draft, I said draft CJ Stroud for Bryce Young. I'm going Stroud. And I feel bad because I've had a chance. I interviewed Bryce Young the night before, or the day he was drafted, that morning. Really nice guy. Great guy. But there was some situation where even during the interview, I'm like, I don't know if I want to build around this guy. Just like the confidence wasn't always there. And I don't know if it's a confidence thing. I don't know if it's a talent, but he was great at Alabama, right? We knew the height. We knew the size. Again, you're almost going for the outliers, but he was an outlier in college. Like Drew Brees, outlier. Russell Wilson, outlier. Kyler Murray, outlier, right? It can be done. But Bryce Young last year had no help. We know that. Adam Thielen was his only guy. But the Panthers have tried to inject some talent into that team. They brought in Deontay Johnson, who perpetually gets open. They drafted Xavier Leggett in the first round, or was that 33? Well, whatever it was, they drafted, yeah, I think it was 32nd overall pick. They drafted, they went back up and traded with Buffalo. So they drafted Xavier Leggett. They brought in Jonathan Mingo early last year in the second round. They still have Adam Thielen. I'm not saying it's a great roster overall. It's not, but they've tried to give him some talent. And Bryce Young just looks brutal. The Saints, wow, what a statement victory early on. Derek Carr looked really good. Again, this is without throwing the ball to Chris Olave, like at all. So that has to make you feel good. Saints defense looked good. They forced some turnovers. Tyrann Mathieu out there making plays. I think if you're a Saints fan, you're enthusiastic. If you're the Panthers, wow, I don't know where you go from here.
Yeah, Matthew says in the chat, what did Germany do to deserve Panthers versus Giants for their international game?
Oh, what's the over-under? Is that an Iowa game?
Yeah, that's
23 and a half.
Yeah, that sucks. Really quick, because I know we got to move on to Monday Night Football here, but any other thoughts? We didn't really touch on the late afternoon games. They're mostly uneventful. They all kind of, you know, went pretty much like I expected, although I'm off the Browns at home. My tinfoil hat theory did not hold up about the Browns defense. They got smoked at home. Raiders and Chargers uneventful, kind of somewhat what we expect, although you were pretty high on the Raiders.
Yeah, concerned. I was. That Are was a little concerned? I want to say no. Like, I still think the Raiders are a good team overall, and Gardner Minshew made some plays, and the run game was a struggle for them. I thought some of the play calling, which again, Antonio Pierce, let's be real, he's they're trying to use him as a Dan Campbell, right? There needs to be some better play calls, I think, just in general with that team. Good for the Chargers to come away with the victory. Ladd McConkey, as I said, he was their basically wide receiver one.
Yep.
He 5 for 35 and a touchdown. They didn't throw the ball very effectively at all in that game. And then, yeah, sticking in the AFC West right here, Bo Nix. This is why preseason does not matter.
Yeah.
It's why the preseason does.
That was wrong.
It matters to knock the rust off or to get a feel. But like once you get the regular season, it's a completely different animal. Bo Nix looked horrible. Looked like Bryce Young out there.
20. Well, he looked like Russell Wilson. So maybe Russell Wilson in Denver. I mean, we're yet to see him in Pittsburgh, so we'll see. But maybe that was an issue with the offense, because 26 of 42, but for 138 yards.
Yeah.
Like, how do you complete 26 passes for only 138 yards? That doesn't even make sense. That's like 3 yards a throw.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you mentioned earlier Baker Mayfield might have been MVP of the day. 289 yards, 4 touchdowns. Browns fans got to be disgusted.
Oh, dude. I mean, that's the worst contract of all time. Any sport.
Yeah.
Any sport. Chris Davis in baseball doesn't even come close to this. Jacoby Ellsbury doesn't come close to this.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... Because, again, I truthfully believe... Well, one, it's all guaranteed. They would have been better off sticking with Joe Flacco. Their franchise would be so much better off if they were going with Baker Mayfield. Not only is Baker Mayfield a much better quarterback, he's a lot cheaper too.
Yep.
Right? That franchise would be so much better off with Baker. I mean, they should go to Jameis Winston ASAP, honestly.
Yeah, a couple more weeks. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if someone tweeted this. Like, it's going to be a couple more weeks of that, and like Deshaun Watson's going to have a sore arm and just sit out and just get paid.
Oh, I mean, it's a sunk cost at this point. Yeah. You've already paid him. The Broncos moved on from Russ. I mean, they realized that they made a mistake. The Browns made a huge mistake.
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk Monday Night Football really quick. I'll just recap how our picks that we did on the show. We do one spread bet, one upset pick, one totals pick. We both went 1-2, both hit the same type of pick. We both lost our spread. Dolphins -3.5 was you that lost by the hook. Falcons -3.5 was mine that lost in embarrassing fashion. Upset pick. There's not many upset picks the entire week. There was, I mean, obviously still have tonight's game to go, but 3 upsets, Steelers, Cowboys,
Patriots,
and Patriots were the only 3 upsets. So kind of hard to cash in on an upset pick this week. You took Giants at home. That was a loss. I took Titans, which,
yeah,
I lost that bet. It's an L, but like, I'm not going to feel bad about picking the Titans. They should have won that game.
That hook got me. I knew it. It went to when it was Miami and Jacksonville. I'm like, this is going to get me, isn't it? It's going to be a field goal. I'm going to lose, and I'm going to be so mad by it.
We both cashed our totals pick, though. You got Titans, Bears under. That was a win for you. Ravens, Chiefs. Now, my bet was under 46.5, but when we did the show, the line was 47.5, so I will count that as a win for the show because we go by whatever the latest line is when we
record the show. I don't know, man.
That's what we agreed. That's what we agreed on last week.
I don't know if we agreed on that.
Run back the footage. That's what we go by the whatever it is when we're recording Wednesday show. Whatever the line is at that moment is the line we go for.
I think you're
47.5 and a finish of 47.
I think you're 0-3. I think
no way. No way.
If you didn't let me, well, I guess you did. I'm just an honest man. That's fine. I'm an honest man that I said, hey, you locked it in at 46.5. That's not my fault.
On Wednesday, no, I locked it in. No, hold on. What happened was I place my bets on Mondays. When I bet it on Monday with my own money, it was 46. But for the sake of the show, we go off what the line is while we're recording the show on Wednesday.
I'm just saying, on Wednesday at 5 p.m. Eastern,
the line was 47 and a half.
Yeah, I'm just saying, when I locked the Bengals in on this show, I didn't know T. Higgins was going to be out.
Yeah, I locked it in on this show as well.
Debatable.
When we made the show, it was 47 and a half. Phillips is a neat screenshot of the line at the time. I have the notes. I did not edit these notes. Under 47 and a half.
All right.
Talked about it last week.
Sure seems like it says at last edited at before the showtime, huh, Ian?
And then survivor pick, you got eliminated with the Bengals. I mean, Ja'Marr Chase still started. And I did, in fairness, you said earlier, I said you could change if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm just an honest
man. But Ja'Marr Chase did start.
I'm an honest man, which is why I thought you'd be honest too, but that's fine.
And then I took the Saints in Survivor, which I had some pro sport, like professional bettors tell me not to take the Saints, and I stuck to it, and I'm glad I did. Because that was the easiest sweat-free win of all. Yeah, they're high on the Panthers for some reason.
High, all right.
Yeah. So we both went 1-2. I'm counting that as it. We can go back and listen to what we said during the show. I said, we go off
if
the
I
lines
lose by one,
that are... What?
If I lose by one.
Then we can debate this.
Yeah. Or if it's, I'll give you a half. Like that might end up being like that way we can't tie.
Right.
It's a half win.
No.
We'll see.
All right. Let's talk Monday Night Football really quick. We got 10 minutes here. Jets, 49ers. 49ers are 3.5-point home favorites if you care about the betting odds. Over under 43.5. Two questions, one for each side. Let's start with the Jets. What do you, Sterling, expect from Aaron Rodgers tonight?
Ooh, great question. I think because full season, I think he's going to be great. Tonight might be tough.
I think
the Niners defense is phenomenal. They have a great defensive line. They're going to put some pressure, even with the revamped O-line of the Jets, at least now. They're healthy because it's week one, right? They should be better. The old folks home, that is the Jets. But man, they're going to put some pressure on Aaron. And can he make some plays? I love Garrett Wilson. Breece Hall is phenomenal. Yeah, I think tonight might be a struggle for Aaron Rodgers and the Jets offense, but I wouldn't panic. I still think the Jets are going to be a really good team when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, I've been anti-Jets all offseason, so I think Aaron Rodgers is going to struggle tonight. I think he's going to struggle all season, especially so. I think tonight's going to be ugly. Excuse me, ugly. I think tonight is going to be like, there's going to be like tweets being like, oh boy. I think it's going to be really gross. I see like 2+ interceptions, like 50% completion rate, like 118 yards. Like, I think it's going to be ugly.
Oh, you think that bad? No.
Yeah, I think it's going to be terrible.
Wow.
I think it's going to be like after the game, people are like, should we even play this guy?
Is this a situation where it's the offensive line perpetually giving up pressure? Is it a case of he's just making horrendous throws like he's Deshaun Watson? Like, where's your barometer on this?
I think he's going to look slow. He's going to look immobile. I think the offensive line's not going to help him out, even though I know they added pieces to it this offseason. I think he's going to look immobile. I think he's going to look stiff. I think he's going to make some bad decisions, and I think he's going to yell at a teammate.
Well, the last one makes sense.
I think it all makes sense.
Him yelling at a teammate. That does make sense.
So other team though, 49ers, will the 49ers start slow this season because of the issues that they've had to deal with? Trent Williams, obviously contract dispute, Brandon Ayuk contract dispute. Trent Williams supposed to play the entire game. Apparently Ayuk is going to be a little bit more limited in terms of how many snaps he plays. Is that going to leak into their performance tonight?
It's a great question. The Jets also have a great defense too. Like, I don't want to take anything away from the Jets defense.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, maybe the under is the play, which means because of two great defenses, the over is going to obviously hit because that's how it works. That's how sports betting works. You're like, okay, on paper, two great defenses, which means it's going to end up being 27-23. Yes. That's a really good question. Trent Williams, I'm not worried about. He's just so good. He's done this so long. He kept himself in good shape. He's I'm not worried about Trent. Ayuk, maybe a little more so just based on same connection with Brock Purdy, just stamina. Even if he wasn't on a snap count, like physically, how could he go out there up against Sauce Gardner and perform?
Yeah.
Debo's great. CMC was questionable, but said he's going to play. I expect CMC to play and get a full lion's share of the carries. No, I guess I'm not as worried about that as me. I don't know if you are, but I'm not quite as worried about that.
No, not really. I don't think they'll be at their sharpest tonight, but Trent Williams doesn't concern me. Maybe some issues with a 49ers pass attack might be a little bit concerning, but I think they'll be all right.
Are you ripping the under in this game?
No, I'm on 49ers to cover. But if I were to bet on the total, I'd definitely go under.
Was it 43.5 you said?
43.5.
Okay. And what's the line?
49ers, 3.5.
That hook just gets me, dude. Yeah. It's got me with the Dolphins. Don't know if I can swing it now.
Instead of making a bet for tonight, I thought it'd be fun for Monday Night Football games when we do the Monday morning show to just give out a touchdown score. Name one player that you think is going to score a touchdown tonight. I'll go with mine first. I'll go a little chalky here in week one, but I'll say Breece Hall scores. Plus 130 are the odds I'm looking at right now. I think with Aaron Rodgers, at the very least, in his first, you know, full game from start to finish in 2 years, I think they're going to ease him into it, get Breece Hall involved as much as possible, both on the ground and through the air as well. I think they're going to really lean on Breece Hall all game, so I'm surprised you can get plus money on him to score, so I'll go Breece Hall scores tonight.
Like that. And we can't use CMC because I feel like that's just...
Yeah, minus 170.
That's cheating. That's just like, okay, sure. Can't use CMC. Hunter, it's obvious.
30-10 final score. Hunter's...
He's on one.
I mean, listen, I think the Jets are going to stink tonight and the 49ers winning cover, but 30-10 is...
I do think CMC scores, but can't use that. I'll go Debo.
I like Debo, yeah.
Just with
with Ayuk limited.
With Ayuk limited, I think a little heavier dose of Debo.
Yeah. I'll throw a bit of a long shot out there. Alan Lazard, 6-1. Rodgers relies on his old teammate a little bit in his first start back.
I don't know, man. He looked so bad last year.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked bad last year.
It's 6-1.
I wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. All right.
Oh, I can't wait for it to hit and I look like a fool.
Well, it's not my pick. My pick's Breece Hall.
Sprinkle some money on it.
I might sprinkle a quarter unit on Lazard. Rodgers, you know, connects with his old teammate in his first start. Matthew, I need all of the Breece Hall points for fantasy. Yeah, I need some Breece Hall points for fantasy tonight as well. My fantasy teams across the board, it sucked week one. Yeah. So close to a great week in every single facet for me this weekend, and then just some things slipped through the cracks for me. Mostly the Falcons, who have caused me to literally be physically sick. All right, that's the show. Any final thoughts, Sterling? We'll be back Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, to preview week two. I can't believe the football season is already here and in full swing. And I'm looking forward to week two. I'm going to be looking at the board tonight and place my week two bets tonight. Any final thoughts, Sterling?
Yeah, Falcons fans, I'll be waiting for my apology. Thank you, guys. Appreciate
Falcons
it.
Falcons fans, wait. Wait until after week four, and then we'll figure out as a team if we're going to apologize to Sterling. But we're not doing it yet. Not after a bad week one. All right. Thank you all so much for watching. Subscribe to Stack in the Box on YouTube. Rate and review the podcast, the audio version of it. Thank you all so much for watching and listening. Enjoy tonight's game between the 49ers and Jets. And we'll be back, like I said, Wednesday, 5 p.m. Eastern, to preview week two. Talk to you all then.
Ohio football fans, picture this. You bet on your favorite player to score the first touchdown, and he throws an awesome block so his teammate can score instead. If this happens, BetMGM wants to give you another chance at the end zone. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you'll get your stake back if your first touchdown scorer scores second instead. That's right. Bet on any pro football player to score the first touchdown of the game. If you're right, you win. If your player scores second, you get your stake back in cash. Everyone knows the most exciting part of football is the score. With BetMGM's second chance promotion, you have a chance to keep the fun going even after the first player crosses the goal line. Plus, you can enjoy second chance all season long. Place a first TD scorer wager today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.